Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class. Short Bible study every single day, 7 days a week, about 13, 14 minutes. But it keeps us in God's Word, and that's important for our faith, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. Share these studies with everybody you can. You know people who need to grow in their faith. You can share through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means. But get them into God's Word and help them grow in their faith and thereby come closer to God. It could be an eternal blessing for them and for you. We're going to begin a new line of thought and study. And I'm going to, as I like to do in these weekly studies through today's Bible class, I like to entitle the study in the form of a question. And here's the question. What makes a nation great? Have you ever thought about that? Now, I've often thought about people who migrate to the United States from other nations around the world, all over the world. I've thought about some of them who come from places where, in my mind's eye at least, nations that are far different by way of landscape and geography and natural resources and poverty and or else, you know, wealth, you know, it far different from what we're used to. And I've wondered, do people who come from those nations to the United States, what do you think about your nation? After you've lived here for a while, I did ask a person that one time at least who had come from a foreign nation, and that particular nation was, I believe, much less advanced as far as the general population is concerned than we are used to in our country with all of the resources that we have, with so much of what we just take for granted, technology, you know, electricity, you know, natural gas, just everything that we just think, well, those are just natural staples of our physical life every day on an everyday basis. But there are many places that don't enjoy those, at least to the degree that we just take them for granted. And so I asked him, you know, after he'd lived here for a number of years, you know, what do you think? Would you like to go back to your country? Or what do you think about your nation? I forget exactly just the way I put it. And it surprised me how he still felt that his nation, his tie to there, was stronger than his tie to the United States, where he had been living for a number of years. And I think obviously had been the benefit of much greater resources and financial ability than he had when he was back in his nation. And that kind of surprised me. But I think everybody from every nation probably would think of their native country as being basically a great place, at least as they could shape it in their mind's eye. Now, maybe not the reality of what they left, but what they think of that nation as they look around and think about it, what it could be, or maybe what it had been at one time in their life. Well, what makes a nation great? What makes a nation great? In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 34, God's word says a basis for what makes a nation great. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach, or how would we put that, synonyms, a shame, a disgrace to any nation. So think about that and let that kind of swish around in your head and kind of burn in your brain there. Righteousness exalts a nation, in other words, lifts it up, but sin, in other words, a nation that is characterized by wickedness, unrighteousness, ungodliness, sinfulness, evil. Sin is a reproach or a shame or a disgrace to any people. Now, we might look around in our country, for example, and we might say, well, I wouldn't say that our nation is an evil nation. I wouldn't say it's a wicked nation. But think about how ungodliness, unrighteousness, unfaithfulness to God, and yes, tenets of wickedness and evil, how they have spread through our nation, how they have gained foothold after foothold after foothold, and characterized our nation less and less to be a godly people, a godly nation, and more to be a nation that is turning steadily and regularly away from God and away from godliness, away from godly living. Well, what does the wise man write here? And this is God's word. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach, a shame, a disgrace to any people. How is our nation, at least on a surface level basis, how is it being characterized more and more? Is it being characterized more and more as a righteous nation or as a sinful, ungodly, wicked nation? Stop and think. You need to give yourself some time to think about the answer, how you answer that. I want us to read Jeremiah 27, beginning with verse 5. Jeremiah 27, and beginning with verse 5. And here we read, I have made the earth, now this is God speaking, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. Now remember, when we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, on the sixth day of creation, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, upon the beasts of the earth, and so on. And so here he is basically reminding the reader of that reality, that act of creation that God had taken and how he had given man dominion over the earth. I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field I have also given him to serve. I have also given him to serve him. Now God is saying here, I have given this king of Babylon, this particular country of ancient days, I've given him land. I've given him holdings. I have given him authority and dominion. So all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son until the time of his land comes. In other words, there's going to come this blessing from God is going to come to an end. The king of Babylon, as far as I've ever read in Scripture and ever heard or read or referenced in secular history, never became a nation that was even in a majority way following God faithfully. So until the time of this land comes, and then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them. In other words, God was blessing Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar came to have some faith in God. And he declared that as we read through the scripture account. But again, his nation never came to be a God-worshipping, I'm saying by and large, majority population, a God-worshipping, that is, worshipping the true God and following and serving him on a consistent basis, never became that identity for that nation. And so God ultimately took the nation away from Babylon and gave it to other kings, other nations. They conquered. The Medo-Persians conquered the nation of Babylon. But for a while, God raised up Babylon and used Babylon to discipline, when you really just kind of boil it down, to discipline the nation of Judah. It was Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar that ultimately conquered Jerusalem and the Israelite tribes to the south that made up what came to be known as the nation of Judah. And it shall be that the nation and kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will, I will punish. The famine and the pestilence until I have, with the sword, famine and pestilence until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. Now, what is the point here? Jeremiah was a prophet to the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, as it had come to be known. And he was trying to get across to them that the people, the kings, the princes, the authorities within the overseeing government of Judah, he was trying to get across to them, you need to repent. They had gone so far away from God. They had gone so far into the worship of idols and ungodliness. And Jeremiah, the prophet, kept trying to tell them, you need to repent. You need to repent. God's going to bring judgment upon you. And so here, God has raised up a foreign power, Babylon, and gave them power that he would use through them to ultimately discipline his people, Judah, the Israelites to the, in the southern kingdom. Now, he had already used a foreign power to discipline the 10 tribes to the north, which came to be known as Israel. He'd already used that foreign power, Assyria. And so that land had been absolutely conquered by the Assyrians and depopulated. They'd taken the population of that, the ones who survived the battles, taken them away to a foreign land. Well, that's what Nebuchadnezzar was going to do through the power that God granted him and his kingdom, Babylon. God was going to use Babylon to discipline the tribes to the south, Judah. And so that was going to be, unless they would repent and turn back to God. But the people, especially the authorities within the kingdom of Judah, they did not, and these were Israelites, later come to be known as Jews. They did not like Jeremiah. And so when one of the kings of Judah would ask one of his supposed, prophets or soothsayers, tell me what's going to happen. Well, they'd lie to him and say, God is never going to let Babylon conquer you. And here Jeremiah is writing God's word, and he says, oh, yes, God's not only going to let Babylon conquer you, he's using Babylon to conquer you and discipline you because of your unfaithfulness to God. So here, the point I'm trying to get across here, what makes a nation great? Remember, God created the world. God has power over the world ultimately. And if we do not walk with God in faithful righteousness, God can bring down any nation, as great as it might appear to be at any moment in time. Now, we're just kind of laying the groundwork here. We'll come back and look a little bit more closely next time. Let's pray. Father, help us to not be arrogant and haughty people in your sight, thinking that we are in total control and we can determine our own destinies however we want them to go. And help the leaders of our nations around the world to not have that haughty, arrogant mindset, but to recognize that your way is the best way for everybody to live and for all nations to govern themselves and pursue being the nation you want them to be. You can make any nation great, but apart from you, any nation will not be great. Please guide us in your will. Give us time to repent, please, Father. Please forgive us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.